For the immature defenses, there is an ego, but it's a weak and vulnerable ego, what one theorist has once called a tissue paper ego, meaning the metaphor you can wet your finger and sort of poke holes in it relatively easily. The job of these defenses is then to maintain this integrity of this sense of self. This can be seen most easily when we talk about blocking. Blocking. Just a minute, I used to remember what blocking was. Well, that is, of course, an example of blocking. Blocking is a transient inability to remember. Notice when you're blocking, the information does come back to you, but it is disruptive, even embarrassing when it's happening. It can cause you to feel stupid because you can't remember simple things. You're going in to talk to your patient who has lung cancer and inform the patient of this diagnosis. Hello, Mr. Jones, nice to see you today. I'm sorry to tell you that you have cancer in the you know, those breathing organs, you know, what do they call? That's blocking. You can't remember the simple name of the organ. Blocking is what happens to you when you're taking your exam, sitting at the Sylvan Center. You're sitting in front of the computer. Here's a question. Good, we heard about this in class. I have no idea what the answer is. And then when you walk out of the center at the end of the day, come on, what happens? Ah, now I remember, now, because what happens is simple. There's something about that stimulus that causes you anxiety. Your ego says, well, if we don't remember, we don't have to deal with it. No anxiety, no bad feeling. Blocking. I bring my fiance home to meet my mother and father for the first time. Mom, Dad, I want you to meet, what's your name again? Blocking, blocking. Now, am I going to remember her name? Yes, of course. I probably have to have a tattoo from now on to make sure I don't forget it. Notice it's transient. It goes away and then it comes back again. It's disruptive. Regression. Regression is returning to an earlier stage of development. In day-to-day speech, we say you're acting childish, going back to how you acted, how you coped when you were younger. You're going in to talk to a patient, and you find the patient lying in bed, curled up in a fetal position, hugging their blanket up against the side of their face. That's regression. The patient, as you tell them the bad news, breaks down crying uncontrollably, sobbing like a small child. That's regression. Now, children, even though they're young, can still regress further. Children regress when they're tired. Children regress when they're sick. Children regress when they just don't get things their own way. One common instance of regression in children is when there's a new sibling born into the household. One common manifestation of this is enuresis, bedwetting. A child who heretofore was able to control their bladder while sleeping now can no longer do so. Children, when they have new siblings, often regress back to wanting to go on the breast or other sorts of behaviors. Children that could learn to tie their shoes may forget how. This is regression. Play, by definition, is regressive. What you're doing is forgetting about all the mature structures of the adult world and going back to that simpler time. That's what play is about. It's regression. Somatization. Somatization is having real, concrete, identifiable physical symptoms that are the result of psychological processes. What you're doing is feeling the physical symptom instead of the anxiety. In a sense, the physical symptom replaces the anxiety. Now, these are real symptoms. They're not made up. They're not just something that you imagine you have. You actually have the real manifest symptom. As I'm about to raise my hand and knock on this woman's door to ask her out for a date for the very first time, I get this wave of nausea in my stomach. This is somatization. As I stride to the podium to address the Democratic National Convention in prime time, knowing that thousands or at least hundreds of people will be watching me, I develop this ringing in my ear that doesn't go away until I sit down. It's somatization, real physical symptoms that are the result of psychological, not physical, processes. In extreme form, taken far enough out, somatization defense becomes the somatization or somatoform disorders. Somatoform disorders are merely the overuse of somatization defense. Now, there's a number of somatoform disorders. We'll discuss them in more detail when we get to talk about the DSM-IV a little bit later on. And finally in this section, introjection. Introjection is, in a sense, the opposite of projection. In projection, I take what's inside and I see it in the world outside. In introjection, I gather what is outside and I bring it in, and these become the building blocks for my sense of self and who I am. Freud says introjection is a necessary and critical part of everybody's development. It's how you get the pieces of yourself. Remember that superego I mentioned that you got around age 4 or 5? How did you get that? Introjection. According to Freud, you introject the same gender parent, and that becomes the dominant voice in that conscience in your head telling you right from wrong. That's introjection. Medical education is all about introjection. Why, the second 2 years of medical school, do we have you follow around the residents and the attending physicians? Because you're really useful. No, you're not. It's because you're supposed to be introjecting, taking in, becoming, and being like them. This course is nothing more than introjection. Every faculty member that is talking to you has a simple goal in mind. We're trying to get you to answer the test questions like we do. We want you to answer as we do because we think that's the high probability response. This is introjection. Now notice the distinction. If you know what you're doing, it's not a defense. If you say, that's the kind of doctor I want to be right there, I want to be just like this person, well, you may be taking in features of that person, but we have a different name for it. We call that imitation. Imitation is conscious. Introjection is not. It's when you're becoming pieces of other people, but it's an unconscious process. One more. Chicago, we used to have a basketball team. We don't anymore, but we used to. We used to gather around the TV, gather in the stadium, and we watch as Michael Jordan head faked and drove baseline. Everybody would cheer. Why did we care? I mean, why did we care? Why do we care if this basketball team, the Bulls, won or lost? These were 13 highly paid individuals. They didn't know us. They didn't care about us. Well, because when Michael Jordan head faked, drove baseline, slammed it in, we felt like we did that. Yes, I'm saying we want to be like Mike. This is introjection. This is what being a sports fan is all about. This is what lets you feel involved and participate in what's going on. Now, since a sports metaphor, it may be a little bit stereotypically a masculine example, let me balance it out with one a little bit more stereotypically on the female side. Just two words, soap operas. Right? Isn't that what soap operas are about? Why do you care what happens to these characters? It's because of this introjection of these people.